You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Support for the City Smack podcast comes from New Balance Running. I've been waiting a few weeks to finally put this ad read together because I'm excited to share my review of the New Balance SC Elite V4. It is the shoe that I wore to break 3 hours at the Houston Marathon, and now it could be yours. I had my first chance to try on a pair with a secret all-white prototype at the New York City Marathon, and I came away from that race a bit bummed about my time, but with zero issues on my feet, no hot spots or blisters, and my legs weren't as beat up. So while I could have opted for any other shoe, I stuck with the SC Elite V4s. It's got a new PIBA fuel cell midsole, and they updated the carbon fiber plate design to have a more forefoot stiffness, so you get more pop than the other previous versions. They also changed the upper to Phantom Fit, so it secures your foot down. The bonus in all of this is the neon accents. It looks awesome, so if you're looking for a race day shoe, my recommendation right now is the New Balance SC Elite V4. If you're looking for some other new drops from New Balance, there's a Fuel Cell Rebel, which is a lightweight everyday training shoe that's out now. The old reliable Fresh Foam X1080 also has some new colors available. Head on over to newbalance.com/running to check them all out. That's newbalance.com/running. Thanks to New Balance for their support of all things Sidious Mag. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Sidious Mag podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. We love giving the listeners a shout out when they leave a review. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from Claritata, who wrote, "Got me through my cross training era. Shortly after cross country season ended, I found out I had a pretty high grade stress fracture in my foot that would put me out all of indoor season. I wanted to stay in shape, so I did some insane cross training sessions. Sidious Mag got me through some of my long run equivalent cross training sessions. Now I'm back and healthy, and my love for the sport has increased even more by staying in the loop through your guys' amazing work. Thank you. So glad to hear that you're back healthy. May you have fast times and personal bests ahead of you. Our silly little podcast may not be able to heal your bones, but it can lift your spirits and track fandom. So thank you, Claritata. This is an episode of Office Hours with Kyle Merber and Mac Fleet, kicking back and chatting with Coach Mark Coogan of Team New Balance Boston. We had a chance to catch up with him at the track at New Balance on our recent visit to Boston for the New Balance Nationals and the NCAA Indoor Championships. At this year's World Indoor Championships, he was trackside to watch Ellie St. Pierre win gold in the 3,000 meters and Emily Mackay taking bronze in the 1,500. He takes pride in the fact that he's been able to develop their talent coming out of the America East Conference. He discusses what he looks for in athletes, how he carefully approaches their training intensity, and how his philosophy has changed, or not really, with all these modern advances. I'm sure you guys will enjoy this one. Without further ado, here is Coach Mark Coogan.
All right, we are here at the track in Boston for both New Balance Nationals and the NCAA Championships. We're sitting down with Coach Mark Coogan. I'm joined by my co-host today, Mac Fleet, for an episode that we're going to call Office Hours. So, Coach, thanks for inviting us into your office and taking some time to sit down with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you guys are here supporting track once again.
How is it having everyone come to your facility? Like, this is your office. Like, this is where you work every single day. And now the entire NCAA and all of high school track is here.
Yeah, I would be getting more territorial and like pushing people away, except there's so many good kids here racing. I want a few on my team. So like, it's kind of an open door policy down here now. Like, I hated it at the Grand Prix, like everybody trying to come in here, but now that's different today.
But speaking of that, how nice has this new facility been
for you? I mean, you're going on, what, two-ish years being here? How has it been?
It's been phenomenal. The whole reason why we started this team, the team's 10 years old this year, and 10 years ago they decided to make the track. And when John Evans and Jim Davis and Tom Carlio thought that we should have a track team out of here, that's when I left Dartmouth and came down here. So this spent 10 years to get this thing up and running, and we're so proud of the track. We really are. It's fast. It's beautiful. It's just clean. It's everything. It's easy to warm up. John and I had the idea of a little warm-up track, and they took it, and they built a little warm-up track upstairs. I think it's a blast. It's fun to work out here for the team and things like that.
Do you remember the days of trying to like get on an Alter G somewhere or get in with anything that you need is here?
Yep.
It's really a perfect training ground. You don't even have to go outside anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was always a struggle to find an Alter G. We'd be big in Harvard if we could get on theirs, and like then we'd like try to help pay for their warranty, so if we broke it, it would be okay. And you know, I think like the BAA was doing the same thing, and so now we have two Alter G's, we have great treadmills, we have a lab, a sports research lab right across the hallway. I'm honest to God, we have everything we need. It's like I don't even know what to do with it all.
You have no excuses, though. That's tough, you know?
No excuses, really. Unless they run slow. And I just blame it on them.
No, I would say, like, but that 10 years, and especially these last 2 years, having everything here, I think you can see the dots on the chart of sort of the ascension of the group and sort of everyone's performances, and I would say like New Balance as a whole, especially kind of in the running space.
Yeah, I mean, John Evans is really the catalyst behind all of this, and he's always had like the boutique approach. So like, let's not get like 30 people and hopefully three or four of them run well. Let's get like four or five of them knowing that they're going to run well, and like maybe they're, and like we really, really worked hard to find like Emily Mackay, we might talk about her, or Ellie, or Heather, like we like search, watch races, watch video, and found out what kind of people they were, you know, inside. And that's like the real cool rewarding thing, is like having two people from America East Conference representing the U.S. at World Indoors and both getting medals. You know, it's not the Big East or the SEC or Pac-12. It's just neat, right?
I mean, that's recruiting, right? Like, I mean, Heather, obviously, down the road at UMass as well. It's like no big Power 5 schools. So when do you start? Like, are you looking specifically? Is there more untapped talent in those schools versus the big ones where, you know,
I think there's a lot of talent in this schools around New England, like UNH or UMass, the landscape's changing a little bit now, but like they're not hopping on planes and going out to Stanford, you know, when Stanford was having all the good meets. Like Katrina was at, my daughter was at Georgetown, like they were going to Stanford a lot, or going to Mount SAC or something like that. And like UMass is going to Tufts for the Snowflake Challenge. Like there's no way you can run fast, but like I was coaching at Tufts and MIT, and like these kids were running really hard in crappy weather and like trying hard, and I don't know, and like let's give a couple of these kids a try. I mean, I knew Ellie was good, right? She won NCAA indoors.
Yeah, good eye. Yeah.
It's tricky. Like I don't know. We got little lucky, but we got great kids, and now everybody wants to at least check us out, you know.
Is there anything in particular that you're looking for in an athlete? I know you run hard and all of that, but you seem to be pretty deliberate about who you choose to, you know, sort of start coaching, and your hit rate is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think number one is like healthy, know the college coach a little bit. Like I knew the UMass coach, I know Hop really well at UNH, you know, I get to know the SUNY Binghamton coach a little bit, and I think that the key is having like really healthy runners. Like I think almost everybody on my team, you know, if they didn't end up being distance runners, they would have been playing D3 soccer or something. Like they're athletic, they're not fragile little toothpicks. And not there's anything wrong with being skinny or whatever, but I think you're better off being healthy, athletic. Like if you're forcing yourself to be a toothpick, then I think it's really difficult to maintain it. And These kids are just like that. They're just athletes.
I don't think Mark was looking for me.
Well, Max today at breakfast was telling us that he broke.
Sorry, Max.
No. He broke 4 minutes.
That's a priority. Yeah. I don't think I'm on the list.
Well, the fun fact that Mac was saying is that he broke 4 at 2 different weights that were like 30 pounds
apart. Like 20, 25 pounds apart from one another. That's, of course, a very healthy way to go about your running career.
But so I'd pose.
You're successful, nonetheless, right?
Yeah, for a little.
Yeah, I mean, for. I mean, if. Yeah, 2 years. Yeah, two good years. Yeah.
I'd asked a poll on Twitter. I said, when you see someone who runs really well after college, having not been necessarily a world beater in college, like, what is your impression of that coach? Because I feel like sometimes an initial impression would be like, oh, well, like, if someone's so good, why weren't they running faster in college? But then there's this idea of like, well, certain coaches have this idea of you don't have to max out in the 4 years you're here. It's a long-term approach. And I guess from your perspective, from a training base, and this is also for high school kids when right. recruiting them, it's like, is it just mileage? Is that it? Is it just like, we want people who have room to grow in that arena, or is there other things?
I think it's that. I think it's intensity. I think it's, like, I don't know what a good example would be. Like, I think Chaz is one of the best runners I've ever seen in my life. Really one of the best. I think he ran a lot in college compared to what Ellie did at UNH. Like, okay. Ellie could have run the 5K and the mile or something like that. And Hop never did that to her. And so she's very fresh, you know. And I think, like, Abby, I had Abby at Dartmouth, like, maybe like that last year, we kind of got a little bit greedy because, you know, she won indoors and outdoor. It won the 3 and the 5 indoors for the second year in a row. And like the whole school was like rallying behind her. It was like a little bit too much pressure. And then she got second at the 5K outside. She ended up getting on the Olympic team. But I feel like I didn't do her as well as I should have that last year. I should have said, you know what? Who cares about the 5K? Let's just run a 1500, have fun. You just had the best college career I've ever seen, and we didn't overrace you. You didn't do anything nuts. Like, let's be smart. And like, I've learned like, those are the type of kids I want, you know. Mm-hmm. As much as I would love to have Chaz still to this day, but right. I just feel like the poor kid ran really hard, and if you only have X amount of races in you, and Oregon's serious business, right. Like, you know.
So. I would, yeah, and I mean, it's hard because I didn't go to another college, and, you know, I guess I was under other coaches. I would, from my perspective, I don't think he ran that hard, but he raced a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to count those races, I mean, the guy won 17 NCAA titles. So those, of course, you have to be extremely fit for a long time to do that. So, I mean, to your point,
yeah. The cool part too is the willpower. Right. You know, right. Like, Abby taught me anything. She like, she told me like, everybody has a limited amount of willpower, and if you use it. Right. You know, if you use it getting ready for a chemistry exam, you're going to have a hard time bearing down in a 5K 2 days later. And, you know, I think it takes a lot of willpower to win 17 NCAA champs. You're a little bit better than everybody physically.
What was your what was the hardest transition for you going from Dartmouth to pros? And what would you say are kind of the biggest differences going into training and preparing athletes for their biggest competition moments?
I think the 4 years to get ready for the Olympic trials, and then if you don't make it, like you feel like you're trying to figure out how you justify your running, or like, was this worth it or not? And
it's like you legitimately have midlife crisis every 4 years, even if you make it, probably.
Yeah, and like,
I don't know.
So like, my big thing with the team is
that's the truth.
I wouldn't know.
Like, when I made the Olympic team in the marathon, I felt like the weight of the world was kind of lifted off my shoulders because I tried in 88, I tried in 92, and you know, I was always like, I was a really good like fourth place runner. I could never like beat Kennedy or Williams or the you know, some of the old guys. But I was always like hanging around and then get dropped. And when I like with like 2 miles to go, I knew I was gonna make the Olympic team. It was one of the happier days like I've ever had. Like that feeling running, like just kind of get goosebumps when you float down the track. We've all had good races where you're like, oh my goodness, this is, you know. So I think like. Like, you know, if someone doesn't make the team and they're really close and they feel like it and it's been such a dream and they don't, I think that's really harder than like, oh, I just missed NCAAs by a spot, you know, like life's okay, you know, after college. But I think putting 4 years in or 3 years in, and it's just one race every few years, it's tricky, right? And New Balance Boston, like, we caught we caught a massive break with COVID because Elliot Heather would not have made the team if the Olympics were the year they were supposed to be. We got that extra year of training and growing and the team getting tight, and like, we, you know, we did some workouts on the track that I was like, you guys are really good. And that's dude, they wouldn't have made the team if it was in 2020. Yeah, it was 2021 that it ended up being. So we got lucky there. So it takes like all that junk, you know?
Well, so I guess speaking of athletes surprising you, this past week in Glasgow at the World Indoors, were you at all surprised by Ellie winning and Emily coming away with the medal?
The goal for Ellie was a medal. So like when Ellie races, we always like in a championship thing, like I always say, like, you want to be in the race with 400 to go for a shot at making the team or winning. Like, just giving yourself a shot because you can't control what other people are doing and you don't know how the chips are always going to fall. So like, I was really confident she was going to be there with 400 to go, and I was just watching her. Like, I watched her chop her steps a couple of times. Like, God, she's like chomping at the bit. And I didn't know if she was going to be Segay because she's run 14 flat. Right. But I mean, she's an animal. Like what she did at Millrose, I thought was pretty, you know, pretty impressive. And then her first race back up here, upstairs, like leading that 3K the whole way. And Jess is a very good runner and outkicked her, but Ellie did a load of work in that. And for not running a track race for like, you know, a year and a half, to run 8:25 first time on the track's pretty cool. I mean, I knew she would. I was in good shape, but I don't know what was going to happen. Like in December, so Ellie was about 4 hours from here. So she comes down. Like, I'm kind of old school. Like, we just work out Tuesday, Fridays, long run Sundays, and nothing. We don't do anything crazy or new. But so she usually comes down like Monday night, stays at, you know, someone's house on the team, comes to practice and goes back up. But and it was the end of November because she was going to go run that mile in Hawaii. I was like, let's just do 2x3K with 5 minutes rest. And she's like, all right. And so she, so I was like, let's just run 72s. And so that's 9 flat. So she, so she ran like 8:54 and we took 5 minutes rest. And then she ran 8:44. And like, a lot of kids can't run 8:44, just, you know, that's what it's on. No,
this is a workout that got out. Yeah. and was in our group chat. Yeah, yeah, we were like, every, you know, we're going through the numbers here like that for the time.
Balls.
Yeah, we're, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, you're yeah, not a tight ship.
Not spikes or anything. Yeah, knots are just as good, I guess. But and so I was like, that's great. And I was like, you go to Hawaii, you know, have fun, win the mile. I thought for sure she was going to win the mile, but she went out there and got the bug. She got sick. And, mm-hmm. like, if I was there, I probably wouldn't have let her run, but she felt guilty. You know, like, you're taking someone's plane ticket, so you feel like you have to run.
Right.
And she ran off the group and just got upkicked because she didn't have any strength. But then we went to Flag, and she's a really good adapter to altitude. Like, when she comes out of altitude, she's a machine. And so I knew she was gonna have good runs. I knew she was gonna get a medal, you know. Yeah. We were hoping. And then
Emily takes, yeah, the lead with 400 meters to,
yeah, so with like back, with one of the strongest, like, most deliberate moves I've seen in quite a while, especially.
Did you think
indoors.
She miscounted laps, or you knew,
no,
she did?
No,
I didn't think.
Well, she was itching for the 400 meters before and to try to get out, and, yeah, just couldn't.
Have you watched your race much in the last year? So like,
yeah, I would say so.
If you watch the race a lot in the last year, she's done that in every single race she's run, and she's won most of them. You know, she did that like at BU when she ran 8:40. She did that like when we went out to California, that LA meet. They put her in the slow section. She just drilled everybody with like 600 to go. We did a 200 at Concord and Concord Mass at that.
Adrian Martinez.
She ran the 800. She sat with the group for the first lap, then just crushed everybody the second lap. And even like up here at the Grand Prix, the two Ethiopian women got away and she was in the pack, and then she just crushed the pack. I don't know if you remember, but she just like devastated the pack over the last 400 meters. And so like when we were in Scotland, she's like, should I stick to my MO? I was like, if you can, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. But right. And then she just did it, you know, because she's good. And
well, she's very good. She just wanted a medal.
We thought like we were joking after, like, you just waited 20 more meters, like Nikki wasn't going to catch you. You still would have jumped. Yeah. Like, so I don't know. So but like she's really special. Like John and I I saw her when she was running for Binghamton, and she didn't have carbon plated shoes. She just had, you know, like regular spikes, and she made NCAAs, and like John and I are kind of like, oh, don't make the finals because we want her, you know. And then she came, and then like she just fits in. She's got a great personality. And then like if you run with Heather and Ellie, and you know all of them, Billy, Katrina, if you run with them for Schieffer, if you run them for a while, you just realize they're regular people. And like once you figure out that all the good runners are just normal like you are, it's easier to like get to that level.
I remember when we were at the Wild Duck in Eugene, I think 2 years ago, and Emily was there, and just talking to her, I realized like she didn't know anything, like in like the best way, where it was like, oh, you're just really good and you ended up in this situation. You were not the high school on like the message boards following all the pro runners. Like does she go into races now knowing who people are, or is she still just like, you know, beat people?
You know, this like half the Ivy League kids don't know who anybody is, right?
Too much studying in chemistry.
There's other things in life.
Like that team's kind of like that. Schieffer really knows what's going on, but like, I don't think, like, if I ask Ellie who's...
I don't think Ellie cares, yeah.
She doesn't know.
That's incredible. I love that.
I mean, at this point, Ellie's raced everyone so many times, but...
Yeah,
no, but, like, it just that Emily just fresh out, didn't know anything, and it was just... I think there's an element of being fearless, right? Whereas you don't know who you're making a move on 400 meters to go. Whereas in my head, I'd be like, oh, well, like the workouts didn't add up to say that I should be able to do this. And they've done this and I've only done this. And it's like complete overcalculation. And that's why I have no medals and she's got one.
Yeah. I mean, like we talk about like not times, but I'll say, oh, that's the type of workout like a 4 minute person can do, or, you know, or like, like we do so much stuff at like 15 minute pace. Like our 1500 meter runners train like 5K kids, you know. And I train for the 5K, go race the 1500. You gotta have to be strong come Eugene in June when you have to do, you know, 3 races to make the team. And so like I think it just makes sense. And if you can run under 4 minutes off of 5K training, maybe you rest up, you can run 3:57, you know. And like that's kind of like my philosophy for it. But And she's freaking athletic and strong and fast, and like, right, why not run 3:58 right this year?
I was going to say, especially with how the specifically the women's 15 is being run now. Like Budapest, it's like, okay, get ready to run 3:59 for the first two rounds, and you know, and then let's figure out something crazy for the final.
Yeah.
You have to be just so consistent at running 4 flat or faster.
Yeah, you can't be one like a person that can just do one race and then you need a month off or something. Right. Like you got to be someone that's going to be able to do it 3 times in 5 days, or I don't even know what it is, but.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching 2 new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip Collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's 3-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and 4-foot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at VelusFootwear.com.
So your women's team is obviously much larger than your men's team. And how do you kind of equate the differences of coaching men versus women? I mean, I feel like you don't run into as many men who have that mentality as women, where they step on the line and they don't necessarily know everyone's name. I feel like... I think of like Christian on your team, who's a student of the sport, and you know, he knows everyone, he knows everything. So I guess besides that, what other differences do you kind of see?
That's a good question. So I think like guys think they know more than the women. So like I think the women listen a little bit better and want more of a pat on the back and a little bit more like everything's going to be okay. Not that they're soft. Obviously, they're not soft. But I think this is just a little bit more support, a little more TLC goes a long way. With, like, the guys, you can just, like, herd them together and go, you guys, you gotta start running hard. You guys stink. get your miles in, right, or something like that. Whereas, like, that's not gonna fly with like the women on my team. And I think, like, I mean, I learned a lot from Abby at Dartmouth because she was a superstar, and Lexi was a personality that you had to, you know, work your way around. And Dana was on the team. We had a really good team, yeah. And Helen was on the team, and so I think I learned a lot from them. But then when Katrina came on the team here, my daughter, like, you really, like, you want to, I want to treat her like she's the best thing ever made, you know? So if I'm going to treat her that way, I'm treating the rest of the women on the team the same way, because that's how I would want the people, you know, if someone else was coaching Katrina, that's how I'd want her to treat her. And so I think I became a better coach just by having Katrina on the team. It's make me a, not softer, but compassionate or thoughtful, you know what I mean?
I feel like the dynamic of getting an athlete to trust a coach, like, just in full, is such an important aspect of, like, of just performing well. If there's at all, especially when you get to championship races, if there's at all any sort of doubt that what you're doing isn't the best thing, yeah, for you, you're off the rails immediately.
Yeah.
And so just, I don't know, building that environment of just, whether it's not even the best training, right, maybe for that person, but if you're in if you're in full trust,
no, it really is.
It is. Let me tell you.
No, yeah,
no, but it's easier,
like, if you trust what you're doing, like, almost blindly, you're going to perform better. No, like, just having full confidence out there on the
but
track.
If you're a recruit coming in and you see the team's already running well, that it's so easy.
Oh, it's so easy to buy in.
It just builds, yeah, in on itself.
Yeah, it builds in. I mean, I think that's what, like, you know, Salazar had going. Like, people were running well, so, you know, Ritz would show up and go from 13:12 to, like, 12:57 in a week or something, you know? Like, I think that's just confidence and trusting. But I, like, I think all the women on my team know that we're doing the right thing,
right,
and they're not stupid. Like, they'll see, like, Johnny G is training here, you know, at the same time, and he's got a big mile on Saturday, and Heather's got a big mile on Saturday, and I'm like, Johnny, what are you doing? And he'll say what he's doing. It's like, oh, that's what we're doing. So, like, it's not rocket science or whatever. You know what I mean?
We were talking to Johnny yesterday, and he said he was working out with Ellie at one point this year, and he's like, I mean, she's ripping three flats, like, yeah, no problem. And he's like, if I fall asleep for 1 second, right, like, I'm out the back.
He's like, wait a second, what's going on here? She sells blood in the water. He goes, and she'll start turning the screws, and then you're like, wait, I thought I was just out here for a fall workout. And
but we're not hammering speed all the time. We're doing, like we do a lot of threshold and tempos. We do a ton of strides. Like, I think strides are really important. I stole those from Arturo Barrios back in the 90s. Arturo did 10 strides after every run, so he's doing 20 strides a day, and it just made him so super efficient, and he's always just touching on the fast switch with not carrying any fatigue. And so, like, we do a ton of strides, but if someone's like, in, even when people on my team are peaking, we're still throwing in like a 20-minute tempo run just to keep, not lose that strength, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. And like, I see Johnny doing that, or people when I lived in Boulder were doing it. It didn't even matter if you were a mile or a marathoner, you know, like, everybody's still in some thresholds and things.
It's always funny to me when a bunch of pros are going to Flagstaff from different groups, and then everyone sort of blends. Like, there's a lot of blending of workouts just to share tracks or, you know, share workout loads and whatnot. And it's like, oh, 70% of the U.S. distance runners right now are doing 90% of the, yeah, same thing all together on the track.
Absolutely. Like, we don't do, the double thresholds or anything like that. I think maybe, like Ellie might do it by accident. Like, so, like, she'll have some kind of tempo-y thing in the morning, and then, like, she's trying to get in her second run pretty quick, so she might do, like, 5 miles at 5:30 p.m. You know?
So casual.
I think we kind of do it that way by accident, but like, I still haven't, like, wrapped myself around it, you know? Like Mike Smith told me one time, he said, like, one of the reasons, like, that he likes doing them is because it keeps the kids from going too hard in the sessions, because they know they have to do another one later in the day. And so I think it helps keep you healthy too, then, in that sense. So
I wanted to ask a bit about coaching your daughter. I just think that's, like, an interesting, you know, we have a lot of people who coach partners, you know, like husband wife combos, but coaching your daughter, how's that, like, in the dynamic? Was there a discussion before that happened of, like, maybe you should go somewhere else, or
I think she probably had the discussion with her mom and said, you didn't have it with me. Yeah. But she visited a couple of other teams and stuff. And I mean, I think it just turned out to be right. And, like, New Balance wanted her on this team. And she was a very good runner at Georgetown. And
you were going to block her from prevent her from getting a job.
Yeah. But it's been really hard for Katrina. Like, I think it's been it's probably been the hardest on her than any other athlete that we've had on the team, because, like, not she's fallen in my footsteps or her mom's footsteps, but we both ran in the Olympics, and, like, she was very successful at Georgetown. They won NCAA cross. She, you know, anchored a DMR like the BYU woman did last night, sat on people and outkicked them for the win and stuff like that. And, like, her trajectory, like, we thought, you know, 5K, 10K, she's going to be a superstar. You know, like Nick Willis is saying, I've never seen anybody with such beautiful form.
She's got such a good stride.
And, like, yeah, so much of this, like expectations, like, not hard ones, but everybody was thinking it. And, like, she just hasn't, like, been lucky enough to get this, like, little breakthrough, you know? Like, when she's in really, really good shape and hits a race, like, the weather doesn't cooperate, or, like, she has an extra bone in her foot and then it gets aggravated, you know, more than, like than it should, right? Because it's right. Extra stress on it. And, like, should she have surgery and have it removed? Like, it's always, like, back and forth, and she never has. So, like, mm-hmm. So it's been, she's had it harder than anybody on the team, and she's just as good as anybody on the team for sure. And she's the one that, like, everybody goes to too, you know. She's like the matriarch now.
Yeah.
And she's a little bit older than, you know, a few of them, and she holds this group together. And, like, I don't know if we'd be as good without her, you know. And, like, I'm, and not seeing her every day for 4 years, and now I get to see her every day. It's, like, it's great for me. She gets tired of me. Right. I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, and hopefully when she's done running, like, she's like, I still had a good career, and, like, you know, you just can't justify your existence on making an Olympic team or world champs. It's like, it's not worth it.
Right.
Sounds like she might have the coaching bone.
She's gonna go to med school.
Oh, wow.
She just took the MCATs last fall sometime.
Let's go.
She nailed them, so.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, so I wanted to play a game.
Yeah, let's do this.
So it's overrated, underrated. I'm just going to name a bunch of different things that are happening, that are in the discussion of how to coach. And you say overrated, underrated. You can say properly rated, but only a couple times. Okay, so use that one carefully. So first off, I see one in the background. Alter G's. In general, overrated or underrated?
You're going to have to use it properly.
Yeah, I'm going to say properly right away. I'd say properly.
Careful, you only got a couple of these.
I'll just leave it there. We use it if someone's dinged up.
That's it.
We don't use it for, like, let's get extra miles in or anything like that. We use it for coming back from an injury or there's something's bugging them.
I'm going to say that's overrated, then.
Can I tell a ridiculous alter G? Sorry. Jordan McNamara, this is unhealthy. Do not advise doing this. He wanted to see what weight he should be at if he could break 4 minutes, so he ran like a 4:02 mile on an ultra G at 97% body fat, and he was like, all right, I gotta lose 3% body fat or body weight.
It's not how it works.
He legitimately ran a sub 4:05 mile on an ultra G.
All right, double thresholds, overrated or underrated. Just don't need to do it.
I think some people might, but I overrated for my team.
Blood lactate testing. You pricking any ears in the middle of workouts?
Trina told me you tried. Like, you bought it.
I bought it, yeah. Mostly because, like, everybody's kind of a bit into it now and doing it all the time. And I was like, well, they're going to think I'm behind if I don't even have one. So I bought one, and I did it on Christian, and I was like, it's not for me. And so we have the lab across the hallway. So we can, if I want to have someone do it, like, out in the real world environment, we're doing Temple Run on the river, they'll come out with me and they can test them, and I don't have to do it.
I love this.
So that's overrated.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is too, like my coaches growing up, like Sev, or I don't know, Gags might even be in this group, but or Vin or somebody, like, we always thought, like, thresholds is like what you can do, like 10 miles in or half marathon. And it always, like, that's what it comes back to with the guys in the lab too. So like that's what, you know, college coach said, oh, just, you know, if you can have one or two word conversations, you don't want to be able to sing a song in the middle of a tempo run, but if you can, you know, say I feel okay, or like, you know, is this easy, and you can answer, like, that's probably a good pace, right? And you have to learn to run how you feel, not like, you can't prick yourself in a 5K.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we weren't doing butt testing, but zone two back in the day was two. Say a couple sentences.
Yeah, honest to God. And someone once told me, they said that science follows good coaching. So, like, the good coaches are nailing it, and then science, like, catches up to it and says, right. Yeah, that's why it works.
I mean, and that's, I mean, shoot, go back to Larson and, you know, Daniels and all of them, and, like, the bones of that are very much still through all the current coaching.
Totally.
So not in today's generation, but the way that your generation, your contemporaries and friends, former athletes that you would have run with, their opinion on super shoes, overrated or underrated? Are they like, oh, well, back in my day.
You say you hate them. Is that overrated or underrated? They hate them.
They hate them.
Yeah.
A lot of anger. Oh, is that overrated or underrated? If they hate
a lot
them?
Of anger, yeah. and ruined calves.
Pacing lights for races, overrated or underrated?
I think overrated. I think overrated. You're not going to see them in the Olympics anytime soon.
I hope not. Well, oh, my. That's the day I leave the sport.
BU's track. Overrated or underrated?
I would say right now it's underrated because everybody's running so super. I don't know if I'm answering wrong. Underrated because it's so super fast. But I think it's because they do a really good job over there of getting fast kids to come, having really good pacers, and having good pros there. And then when the pacers are done, the pros keep it going, and the college kids get a free ride, and they run superstar times. So I'd say it's a normal, it's a fast track, but I think it's the setups.
All right, that sounds underrated.
Yeah. Underrated.
Yeah.
Or was that overrated? The track is overrated.
BU.
The setup.
Yeah, because we could do that. We could do that upstairs. You could have done that in Glasgow last weekend, you know?
Yeah. So. All right, like the biocarbonate stuff, the little pace mixture.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Overrated because no one does it on my team.
This was Max running on soft surfaces. Some people are obsessed. They like no miles on pavement. Where are you at?
I'd say underrated. So like if we go hard on the track, I want to get on soft surface the next day, but I'm not, that doesn't faze me if we can't, you know, like I lived in Providence before, there's no soft surface. You just run pavement every day and nobody gets stress fractures. So I don't know. Maybe it's underrated. I don't know.
Weightlifting.
I think that's overrated. I think you need a little gym, but I don't think it doesn't have to be your number one priority. Your number one priority is getting out and getting miles in.
Cross training when healthy.
Overrated.
Overrated.
I love this.
We just watched Parker Valley on 14:52.
No. But I don't know. Does Munson, she runs 14:19. How much? Is she cross training like crazy? You know, I don't know. So I kind of look at it. I look at it a little bit like this. I was talking to John Evans this morning on the phone. So like Nico ran 12:57. So I don't know what the American record is, like 10 seconds off or something, right? I don't know. And Parker's a superstar because you win NCAA cross country, you're a superstar in my book. But 14:52 is not close to 14:19. And 8:20 Ellie ran last week is the same as 14:10 or 3:52. And so I think that I don't want to judge her to do anything about training, but someday she's going to have to run more. Right. Like she's going to have to run a little bit more.
I'm very much in that. Like, in order to get better at running, you need to run.
Yeah. But they've done a fabulous job with her
because
she's kicking ass right now and crushing it. And like she ran 4:30 her last mile or something last night. That was really good.
She lapped an All-American.
All-Americans were being lapped in the race.
The whole mistake Gail gave it a girl. Gave it a go.
Right.
I guess she won the 3K last year, but she said she's good.
Altitude training, overrated, underrated?
Oh, you need it. So does that mean it's underrated?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need it. Yeah, I firmly believe everybody's a responder. Some people respond more than others, but everybody responds. And if you can take advantage of it, you certainly should try too. And I think there's good coaching now at altitude stuff. Sorry, I keep jumping in. No. Like Ed at BYU, Wetmore at CU, Mike at NAU, when Joe was at Albuquerque.
Yep.
Like good coaching at altitude, you're going to crush in the NCAA.
So yeah, should college kids go to altitude, or it's like, or high school kids looking at colleges? Like you should go to altitude. I mean, or is it, no, you get it eventually.
No, I would go to school. Honestly, I'd go to school academics first. So, like, I would look at, like, the best school I could get into academically and then see if it has a decent running program. And then if it has a crappy running program, I might, you know, I might, like, go down a little bit. But I'm not going to go to, like, a school that's not into academics. I mean, 95%, you guys know 95% of these kids aren't going to run pro, so they're better off getting a nice degree, a good degree, and being in a place that they'd be happy if, you know, they couldn't run for some reason.
Sidious Mag, overrated, underrated?
Oh, it's definitely underrated. I can tell.
Nice. There we go. You passed. Right,
that's my long list of overrated, underrated. Unless
it's hard to tell us, like, overrated and underrated. It's like,
yeah, it's just like, what's your opinion?
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I don't think I.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're one of the last old school coaches right now. Is that fair to say? Do you consider yourself an old school?
There's a few. I think there's a few of you left, but
old school.
Tommy kind of likes science though, yeah, a little
I
bit
mean,
more
I like
than
science.
You.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I was really lucky because I had a good college coach. Then I had Bob Savini, who was a really good coach. I went to the PC locker room every day for like 2 years and ran with John Tracy and Ray Tracy and like that, the John Gregoric, Johnny's dad. Really good. Learned a ton there. When Gwen wanted to get her PhD in math, we said, let's find a university that has a good running community because we were both running. Went to Boulder. Mark Platches took me under his wing. Arturo Barrios took me under his wing. Steve Jones. I learned a ton out there. I was on the team that I was on. I was on a team with Kempin and stuff, so I got to know Vin really well. My brother ran for Vin at Dartmouth, so I've had so many good people helping me that I could like steal stuff from or just like take in. So I don't think it's like old school. I think I got like it's like a grand. I got an Ivy League education from distance running somewhere online. You know?
The tree.
Yeah,
that's something that I've always wanted to sort of put out like on a graphic or
well, it all goes back to gags.
Yeah, I know, but like the coaching tree and philosophies and how that's like kind of grown to where it is because it is sort of fascinating. Where
everyone's connected
in some way, and
yeah, it's not like I can't talk to him. Like my kid runs for Milt at North Carolina. Hey, Will, what'd you do? And he'll say, oh, did we do this work? Oh, that's a good idea. You know, so I'll steal something. Or Mike from, you know, NAU, a foreign flag, and we're just chit chatting and like I did this like Schumacher one time when I was in Wisconsin, I was working out with some of the guys, Tegan Camp and a few others, and they had this loop in the Arboretum, and it was like 2K long or a mile long, but it had a big hill in it. And Jerry's big thing to the guys was keep the same pace going up the hill, even though the effort's harder. And I was like, I kind of like that, you know? And so I was like, when I was coaching the kids at Dartmouth, I was like, if you're feeling okay, like, keep the pace on this hill, like instead of, you know, trying to get up as cheaply as possible and then like feeling good on the other side. And sometimes you get gaps. Someone's like, I'm just stealing stuff, you know.
So ignoring everything you know about actual coaching and all the, you know, the amount of workouts you've done, if you had to simplify things down for 1500 runner, you can only do 3 workouts the entire season. What are your 3 workouts?
Some kind of 20 minute to 25 minute threshold tempo thing, probably with like, and when you're done, like 6 times 45 seconds hard or 6 times 300 at your goal race pace. The other one would be some kind of like hard 5K work. So like, if I'm just gonna say, like, if you're a 4 minute mile, you're probably a 14 minute 5K guy or something. So, yeah, I say 13:30. I would do stuff at like 13:20 pace, 64s or something.
We're saying like K's or
K's hard. So it's like hard to run K's. You know, going through the 800 and 208. Even if you're a 13:20 guy, it's hard.
How many are we doing?
6, 7.
All right.
Yeah, off at 2:30 probably. And then the other one would be like 12 400s mile pace, 90 seconds rest. If you're having a hard time, let's take you know, take a lap jog after six of them, you know, try to run the last couple at fast at that race pace.
And just do that on repeat. You're probably not running that different, right? Like if the coach is saying you're doing a good job, giving you some TLC along the way,
yeah,
that works. That's
what that gets you a lot of the way there.
Yeah, right, it does.
You got to get miles in the rest of the week.
Right.
Yeah. Well, coach, thanks so much for sitting down.
No, seriously, and, like, thank you.
Shooting right. the shit with us. No, it was great. It was super fun. Yeah. Well, we will see you in outdoor.
Yep, for sure. We'll go into Flag right the day after the Boston Marathon. We like to be hanging out here for the marathon because it's a fun weekend. We'll go to Flag, and we'll be out there almost like pretty much to the trials. We'll come back and forth for races and stuff, but we'll be out there a long time.
Amazing.
All right. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Thank you. Thanks for all the support.
City Smack, underrated.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. This episode was produced by Jasmine Fair. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit cityofsmack.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.